ask an interest in your prayers this evening as we look in the Word of God. I greatly appreciate the Spirit of the Lord being with us here tonight. Kind of feel like a 19-year-old preacher tonight. We want the Spirit of the Lord to minister. The Lord is going to come back. That is assured tonight. The Lord's coming back. And I want to go too, Rodney. I want to make it. I don't want anything to hinder me. And I am so thankful tonight that in those places that we face in life, where we recognize there is a hindrance between us and God, there's a hindrance in us making it to heaven, that we can do exactly what the young folks just sang tonight. We can bring it to the cross. There is no sin tonight. There is no failure too great. There is no disappointment too much, except that we can bring it to the Lord Jesus, and He will forgive us. He will restore us. He will renew us, and we can be reconciled to God, that we can have a clear testimony that we too can say, I'm ready for the Lord Jesus to come back. Brother Joseph, could you lead us, please, in the first and last verse of number 370, I believe it is. It's first and last verse of 370. No, that's fine. First and last verse of 370. Verse 4. I'm looking to glories divine. I shall reap my reward at the last. For my Jesus, dear Savior, is mine. Are you looking forward to the coming back of the Lord tonight? We've heard what the reward is going to be if we will be faithful to the Lord. This song was written about someone that had a hope, of something wonderful that was to come because it was entitled Bright Anticipation. This was not someone that was dreading hell. This is not someone that was dreading the return of the Lord. This was someone that was looking forward to the Lord coming back. I forget all the things that are past, and I'm looking to glories divine. I shall reap my reward at the last for my Jesus, dear Savior, is mine. I'm waiting, I'm longing. You know, there's something about longing tonight. It's not just, well, I hope, casually hope it happens. When you long for something, there is a deep-seated desire. And the songwriter was longing for the summons to come. The title of the message tonight is Confidence at His Coming. Do you have confidence tonight at the coming of the Lord? I'm confident He will come, but am I confident tonight that I am ready to meet God when He comes? Confidence. Confidence in how we have been living our life. Confidence at the things that we have been doing. We sing the song sometimes in our book as well, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. That was something very personal. Do you know playing church and having a little bit of religion is not confidence? Confidence in what God has done for us is confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ and the atonement and what it means to me very personally tonight. It is a testimony. Having confidence is a testimony that is very personal. It goes beyond saying, well, this is where I attend services at the church at Oak Grove Church of God. It goes beyond our spiritual lineage. It goes beyond the wonderful spiritual heritage that we have tonight. It comes down to a place very personal in our walk with God. Can I say I have confidence at the coming of the Lord? Am I ready to meet God? Because heaven sounds really good. But who of us here would say, I don't want to go to heaven? But it's going to take something for us to get there. It's going to take something in this life. There's a passage of Scripture over in Isaiah in the 30th chapter. In the 15th verse, it says, For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In returning back to God, ye shall be saved. It says, In quietness and in what? In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And the rest of it's a little sad. It says, and you would not. But in quietness and confidence, there is something that words cannot explain tonight to convey the depth of peace and assurance when you can say, I'm so thankful I'm saved. Sometimes people say, I don't have much of a testimony and I don't know what to save and someone stands up and they say, I'm thankful to be saved. There is no greater testimony tonight than to be able to say with a clear conscience, I'm saved. Because salvation was not because of our works. It is not because I've been good enough. Our salvation tonight is dependent upon the fact that I personally have passed through the blood of Jesus and He gave me the gift of salvation. And so with confidence and with assurance, we can say, I'm looking forward to the coming back of the Lord because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. My heart is clear. My life is open before the Lord and I'm waiting for the coming back of the Lord with a peace in our hearts and a peace of mind that comes about by simply trusting in the plan of salvation that Jesus came to bring to us. There is great strength in this kind of an experience tonight when you have confidence at His coming, confidence at what He's done in our lives. It is a miserable place. It is miserable to be in a place where you're trying to serve the Lord and yet you are living in uncertainty. When you're trying, you know what some of the standards of the church is and you know what they teach and you know kind of what some of the things the Bible teaches, but there's something in your heart that is just not clear. We are not going to be measured. And I've been just thinking over and over what some of the things Brother Marty said this morning. And I'm going to repeat something he told Sister Sam and said, we're not going to make it. Or we're not, help me out now, we're not going to be judged based on what others have said. We're not going to be judged on what others have said, but what we have said. Do you know tonight, we're not going to make it to heaven or not make it based upon what everybody says about us or what everybody thinks about us. This is a personal relationship between you and God. And when I, or if I, were to begin to look around at the saints and begin to undermine and criticize and say I can never live up to what they say or what they're doing, that is really almost irrelevant when it comes to my personal experience with God. I'm going to have to get in a place with God that my heart has been washed in the blood of Jesus and I've had a heart transplant. I've had a renewed mind given me that my purpose and my desire is to please God above everything else. And then you too can say with confidence and with a quiet rest in your spirit, I am so thankful to be saved. And when the Lord comes back and when you begin thinking about the Lord's return, you don't have to be in fear. You don't have to be uncertain because that is such a difficult place to be in. There's a place the Lord wants us all to have confidence tonight at His appearing. There's a place tonight the Lord wants you to have a quiet rest in your spirit that I'm ready to meet God. You know what it's like? Have you ever gone to bed and there was something between you and the Lord? I remember, you know, sometimes children have these memories of laying in bed hoping the Lord doesn't come tonight. I hope the Lord doesn't come tonight because there's some things I need to get ready. The Lord is going to come back. But tonight, are we afraid of that? Or can we say, as we've heard testified and exhorted and sung about tonight, that, Lord, I'm looking forward to it. The Lord has something for all of us tonight that we can look forward to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 John, in the second chapter, this will be our text tonight. 1 John, the second chapter, in the 28th verse. 1 John 2, 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Little children, abide in Him. Abide in Jesus. That's where the answer is tonight. That's where we're going to find this confidence, is when we are abiding in Jesus. You know, it's one thing to visit someone, and it's something else to abide with someone. You know what the difference is? When you visit someone, you come and you go. When you abide somewhere, you are settling down. This is where I am. I'm putting down roots. It's wonderful for people to look in the things of the Lord sometimes and to pray a prayer sometimes and maybe attend service sometimes. But that's not where the answer is tonight. If we want to be ready to meet God, we are going to have to start abiding in Jesus. Lord, Your dreams and Your plans and Your purposes for my life take precedence over everything else in life. The things the Bible teaches when we abide in Christ, our heart's desire is going to be to please God more than the things that the flesh and the world are calling for. So then if I want to be ready at His coming, I have to start examining the fruit of my life. I have to start examining my life and saying, Lord, am I one with You? Am I abiding in Jesus? And only we can answer that individually tonight, because it says when He shall appear. It doesn't say if. The coming back of the Lord Jesus is certain tonight. He's coming back as a thief. He's coming back unexpectedly, but He will come. We will be living life. We'll be doing many of the same things we did today. It might be during camp meeting or it might not. It might be just when we're out on the job, living life at home and at work and in town, when we don't expect that the Lord is going to come back. How can I be ready for that? By abiding in Jesus Christ. That every single day that we would put Christ first above everything else in our life. The things of this world, when we get that perspective, the things of this world so quickly start losing their value. Because we start looking to those heavenly things. The Lord is going to come back, and there is a crown that was promised to all those that, what, His appearing? All those that love His appearing. There's a crown of life. You know, the Lord does not want us to be living in fear tonight. He does not want us to be living in uncertainty. And the good news is tonight, there's an experience for all of us. From the youngest that can understand this word tonight to the eldest among us, there is an experience that we can be certain that we are ready to meet God. Now, there are groups of people that believe that that is self-righteous and that that is egotistical to say, I'm ready to meet the Lord. But you realize when we begin to understand that our readiness is not based upon any of our own righteousness. It's not based upon the things I've done. We cannot earn our salvation. None of us deserve heaven tonight. It doesn't matter how much you sacrificed. It doesn't matter how much we have done for the Lord. None of us deserve heaven. We cannot earn salvation. I can never be good enough. If there are those tonight that are struggling with always feeling like you can never just quite be good enough, you don't have to be good enough. But when you come through the blood of Jesus, He is the one that saves us. And the testimony and experience is salvation is based upon a work that the Lord did in my life. Not because of what we have done. Are you washed in the blood tonight? Are you saved? Have you been forgiven of your sins? Or is there that in the quiet of the night, those things that come to your mind that trouble your heart, and trouble your spirit, and trouble your mind, and you just, I hope the Lord gives me more time. The Lord wants us to begin living in a way that we are ready for His coming, because one day He will come. Ready, abiding in Him, following after Jesus, devoted to Him. Are you devoted to the Lord tonight? Do you have confidence? It comes when you know I'm devoted to the Lord. Lord, I'm dedicated to You. I'm dedicated to Your cause. I love You. Jesus told us that the two greatest commandments were to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know that living that way brings confidence? It brings assurance, and it's a quiet, restful peace because of what the Lord is doing in our lives. Walking in love. Seeking first the kingdom of God. You know, that brings confidence and assurance. I've been washed in the blood, and now I've changed my course and direction in life. Because when we are washed in the blood, it changes our direction in life. When we repent, when we turn away, see, that's what repentance, I've turned away from, and now I'm walking in newness of life. So then I examine that newness in my life. Am I still seeking God first? The decisions that we're making tonight, are we putting God first? Are we seeking His will? Do we really love the Lord more than anything else? And when we can examine our heart and say, yes, I can, by the help of God, that brings a quiet rest and confidence that I can look forward to the coming back of Jesus Christ. When He comes back, is He going to find us fishing for catfish or fishing for men? And nothing's wrong with catfishing, please understand. But when the Lord calls something of us, when He requires something of us, is He going to find us laying up treasure on earth and that being what drives us? Or is He going to find us laying up treasure in heaven? You see, this is what brings confidence in the relationship that we have with God because of what He has done, and in turn, the fruit that is coming out of our lives. Speaking words of kindness. I've thought so often how every single time we leave the house, have you ever thought this? Every time you leave your house, those might be your last words that you spoke to your parents, to your companion, to your children. What brings confidence is, Lord, it doesn't mean that I haven't had failures along the way. It doesn't mean in life that there aren't times that we come back to the Lord or to others and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? But do you know someone that has a walk with God, you're going to find them quickly acknowledging the needs in their life. That's part of living for the Lord. We're on a journey of growth. Don't be discouraged or disappointed if there are those areas that the Lord puts His finger on and you fell a little bit short. That's what it means to grow in the Lord. But we don't want to cover that up or excuse it or justify it. But we humble our heart because, Lord, I love You more than anything else. And so when some of self rises its ugly head, Lord, I want to crucify that. And I'm sorry where that showed up, Lord. Help me to do better next time. And those times can be fewer and further between as we grow in the things of God, confident in the work that God has done in our life. Little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence. That word confidence in the Greek brings out that there is an openness, that there is an assurance, that there is a frankness. And one of the words I was struck with in the definition in the Greek was publicity. In other words, there's nothing covered up. There's nothing hidden, but there is a confidence. There's a calm assurance that when the Lord comes back, I don't have to be ashamed. Living in such a way that the shame has been put under the blood. There's things in all of our lives that we're ashamed of tonight. There's things that all of us have done that we wouldn't want broadcast. But when those have been brought to the cross and covered up and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, the Lord doesn't remember those anymore. And we can go forward with confidence that it's under the blood of Jesus. And we don't have to bear the weight of the sin, of the failures, of the shame anymore because it's been taken to the cross. Assurance that the blood of Jesus has been applied. Assurance that we're living a life tonight pleasing to the Lord. Jesus made the observation to His disciples in the 14th chapter of John, in the 30th verse. He said, "For the prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me." In other words, the enemy's coming and he has nothing in me. In other words, when the devil comes along, he's looking in our lives for ownership. He's looking, if not for a full ownership, he's looking for a partial stake. Do you realize when companies are traded publicly and there are shares that have been sold, if someone goes to a shareholders meeting and stands up and wants to talk about what they think the direction of the company is, I want to know, are you vested? How much do you own of the company? You say, well, I don't own anything. I say, you have nothing in us. You have no say in what happens here. Jesus was saying when the enemy comes, he has nothing in me. He has no stake in my life. My manner of living and my goals and my purposes and my dreams and how I'm living my life, it's not in accordance to anything that the enemy has because my heart is fixed on God. So can we say that tonight? Then, you know, that's the confidence that we can have, that the devil, the enemy, has nothing in me because our heart's fully submitted and surrendered to the Lord. He has no standing. Does the enemy have standing in your life tonight? You can leave here this evening without the devil having any standing in your life. We can leave here tonight with a confidence that I'm ready to meet God. I thank God for that. There are some that I have known in the past, and they seem to have a good experience with God, but as time went on, through watching their fruit, there was a waning confidence. In other words, it was not me to judge, you understand. But based on what I observed and saw, that there's someone that I used to, I thought I could trust what they told me. But now when they tell me something, I've got to investigate it. I can't take things at face value anymore. I've got to be sure and double check on everything that they tell me before I make decisions based on it. And so it causes my confidence to wane. I don't want to live a life for the Lord tonight where He has waning confidence in me. I want to live a life by the help of God, relying on His grace and His power, the Holy Spirit, that I can have confidence of what God is doing. That in my weakness, I've kept the communication with God open. That I can come to the Lord with my weaknesses and say, Lord, I need some help here. You know, that's part of living for God. But we've got to be abiding in that place, waning confidences. That we would have confidence and not be ashamed at His coming. Wouldn't be embarrassed. We wouldn't be guilty. We wouldn't be distressed. We wouldn't be disgraced at the coming of Jesus. Where are we tonight? Can we say, I have confidence at His coming because of what He's done in my life? And yes, sometimes we struggle, but I know where I'm headed. I know where I'm headed. I know where my heart is. I know where my mind is. I know what my purposes are. And we can get up with that simple testimony. I'm thankful to be saved tonight, and I'm ready for the Lord Jesus to come back. You see, nothing hidden with no shame. And Brother Ed mentioned some of it in his prayer. Over in the book of Matthew, in the 7th chapter, we have a picture of the judgment. And Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. And then there would be some that say, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in thy name we did many marvelous, mighty works. And Jesus said, I will say, depart from thee. I've never knew you. Where was the confidence? Their confidence was not in the work of Christ, in the work of God in their life. Their belief and hope was in the things that they had done. I want to hear the words, as Brother Ed prayed, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not by our righteousness, but it's by coming to Christ and abiding in Him, letting Him have free reign to work in our life without reservation, that we without shame at the coming of the Lord can stand before Him. And so it poses a question tonight. Are we ready? In the book of Revelation, we won't take the time to turn and read it tonight, but it's there in Revelation 4. It talks about God's people symbolically standing upon a sea of glass. Standing upon the Word of God, standing in a place of transparency. That nothing is hidden, nothing covered over. What you see is what you get. We're not trying to preach it higher than what the Bible teaches. We're not trying to preach it higher than what we can live. But yet we're not watering it down like the religious world has done. There's an experience of victory tonight that we can live without shame before the Lord. With clarity and with confidence. Ananias and Sapphira were a good example of someone that started covering, weren't they? They wanted everybody to think they were sacrificing like everybody else, but all the time they were holding something back from God. Do you know that's where it gets so personal tonight? Because it's not my, I cannot find a place that I can feel so good about myself based on measuring myself amongst you all. Some I might feel I'm not there, and others might say, well, I'm doing at least as good or better than they are. That's not what it's about tonight. It's about our relationship with the Lord. That, Lord, the things that you have dealt with me about, Lord, if I'm not there, I'm working to get there. But I'm not justifying, I'm not excusing, I'm not covering up. I want to hear the Lord say, well done. Do you have confidence in your life tonight? Would it be fair as we were to examine ourselves? Because isn't that what Paul told us to do? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Don't be looking at anybody else. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. If everyone else, let me just put it this way, if everyone else had an experience just like you, would you have confidence in them? I mean, is that a fair question? If you'll just let me use me, I'll use me instead of putting my brother on the spot. But if I was doing everything that you did, would you have confidence in me standing before you tonight? If I live like you live, if my priorities were like your priorities, if I went and watched and listened to and talked and did the things that you're doing, would you have confidence in me standing before you tonight? See, that gets kind of close, doesn't it? Because it's easy for us to start kind of rationalizing. Have not we all done that before? Am I the only one that's ever done that? It's easy to kind of start rationalizing sometimes in justifying. But when we really start examining things honestly with the Lord, it's, Lord, I need to make some adjustments in my life because I want to have confidence at the coming of the Lord. Because when He comes back, there's not going to be any more time to pray. There's not going to be any more time to say, Lord, I was going to change it, but there's an experience for us tonight that we can live in confidence before God. There is a passage of Scripture, and we will, as we begin to conclude the message tonight, in the book of 1 John in the 3rd chapter, in the 18th verse, he said, my little children, you notice how John said that a lot. He wasn't trying to make people feel bad. He wasn't trying to make people feel like, well, I'm just not there. He was expressing love. And the Lord loves all of us tonight. He's not willing that any of us should perish. And if you're living, maybe you have a profession and maybe you're saved. But there's areas in your life that you couldn't just say, I've got confidence. I may be living outside the confidence zone, in other words. There's a place that we can get back in that area and allow the Lord to adjust those things that our heart is clear with God. So He said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's not just what we say. It's not just what we profess tonight. It's what we do. It's how we're living our life. And He said, hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us not, God is greater than our heart, and He knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now that scripture can be read and interpreted multiple ways. But when He said here, hereby that we know the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. The measurement is truth tonight. The measurement is not one another. The measurement is not what someone has always taught. The measurement is truth. And this is the litmus test tonight. And He said here then, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Couple ways of understanding that. If our heart condemns us, if we know there is something in our life that is not right, He's in essence saying, don't be deceived. God is greater than your heart. In other words, He knows everything that is in your life. He knows everything that's in your life. And the other side of that is, if you are someone that is prone to being ultra sensitive and under spirit of accusation, and it feels like I can just never do it, but at the same time you know that you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you're doing all that you know to do, but the enemy's bringing condemnation, God is greater than your heart. God is greater than the accusation. God is greater than the condemnation. But God knows everything about our hearts tonight. And so He went on to say, for if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Don't have to live in a condition that we are plagued with guilt, plagued with condemnation, plagued with uncertainty and question. Because if our heart condemn us not, then we can say, Lord, by your help and by your blood, I have confidence without shame at your coming. In the last chapter of Revelation, the Spirit said, surely I come quickly. You remember John's response? Even so, come Lord Jesus. The only way that he was able to say that is because he had confidence. Lord, I believe in you. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and I'm living my life, and I've set my course to please you. So, Lord, when it comes your time to come back and take us to the judgment, my heart says amen. If there's a lack of clarity tonight, if there are places of indecision, if there are places of uncertainty, there is a place that we can have clarity and confidence in our relationship and walk with the Lord tonight, that we can have confidence without shame at the coming back of Jesus, because He is coming back. Amen.